Bible message tonight. John chapter 16 is where we'll begin. I want us to discuss tonight the idea of conviction, Bible conviction. What does it mean when the Holy Spirit convicts us? John chapter 16 in verse 7, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, from the passage of Scripture, we understand that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of their sin. And by convicting individuals of their sin, they are leading them to Christ. They're directing them to Christ. We know that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And the presence of God reveals sin. The presence of God brings conviction. And so when we preach the Bible, the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, and He works through the Word of God to bring us to the place of this conviction in our life. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews, if we could turn there. The book of Hebrews. And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, or excuse me, chapter 12 and verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Now, the passage of Scripture is speaking here. God is speaking to us as His children. And, of course, this is speaking to a Christian here. As a father would rebuke a child, God also rebukes us. He chastens us. And so the Bible says here that we are not to despise the conviction or the chastening of the Lord. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse number 6 here of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now, I think we get a little confused when it comes to looking at the idea of conviction or Bible conviction. Conviction is not guilt. It's not feeling guilty for our sins. It's a light shining on our sins. It's the Holy Spirit pointing His finger at our sin so that we would make changes in our life. The devil brings guilt. God doesn't bring guilt into our life. He brings change. And He wants us to be changed. Conviction is not there so that you feel angry or you feel sad or you feel depressed. Conviction is the Spirit of God leading us into truth. And so all of these verses teaches us this. Now, I think one of the greatest examples in the Bible of the chastening of the Lord or the rebuke of the Lord or conviction is given to us in the illustration or the picture of Peter's life. So I want us to go to John chapter 21, and this is really our text here that I want to use. John chapter 21, and I want us to notice here what the Lord Jesus is doing in Peter's life. Jesus comes to Peter not to make him upset, not to depress him, but to help him. Okay, and that's what Bible conviction is. It's to help us. Look what the Bible says here. John 21, verse 15. The Bible says, "And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, here's the big Bible debate here. What are these, right? Well, the answer is we don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us. My assumption would be that Peter had just gone fishing and, you know, the Lord told him to put the nets on the other side and they caught an abundance of fish and Jesus is cooking fish on the fire on land. And I'm assuming he's pointing at the fish and saying, you know, Peter, do you love me more than the fish? I don't know what he's pointing at, but the question that Jesus is asking is, do you love me more than these things? And notice the response here. He saith unto him, he says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then notice what Jesus says. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, to Peter, follow me. Simple instructions, right? Follow me. Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we look at your word and give us wisdom and understanding and help us to make good decisions tonight. We're grateful, Lord, for your leading in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I truly believe that our life is going to be different tomorrow because of the decisions that we make today. All of us make decisions in any Bible preaching, any Bible service. As long as truth is presented, we're always confronted with obedience to God. Are we going to obey the Bible? Or are we going to disobey the Bible? And by the way, when we say no to God, you've made a decision. Good decisions or bad decisions, we're always confronted with truth. And all of us have the opportunity to make things right. I'm a believer that as long as we have air in our lungs and heart and a beating heart, we have opportunity to make good decisions. And God wants us to make good decisions. God wants us to finish strong in our Christian life. God wants us to do what is right. And I believe in John chapter 21, the question that's asked by Christ to Peter, Peter, do you love me, is a wonderful illustration here of God's conviction, God's rebuke, God's chastening in our lives each and every day. I mean, listen, the Lord Jesus comes to Peter in a very discouraging time in his life. He had just denied the Lord three times. Peter knew that he was in the wrong. Peter, the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. He had confessed that. And Jesus was revealing the very heart, his very heart to Peter. And so the Bible tells us in John 14, 15, if we love God, then we'll keep his commandments. And so the Lord is chastening him. And I think that as we think of Peter's life, it impacted him in such a tremendous way. We continue to read about Peter's life. Where is he? He's preaching at Pentecost. I mean, God used him in such a terrific, a powerful way. And so God was chastening Peter for his good and ultimately for God's glory. And so I think oftentimes when we think of conviction, you know, being cut to the heart or that chastening of the Lord or that that rebuke that God gives us, we often see it as a negative. But the Bible always paints it in a positive way. This is for your good. This is important for you. You know, when I surrendered to be a preacher, I knew that God was calling me into the ministry. I just had a burning desire to preach the Bible as a young person. And I'm not trying to be dramatic or anything, but I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, I would line up all of my stuffed animals in my room, and I had a lot of stuffed animals. Don't judge me, okay? I had a lot of stuffed animals. I'd line them all up, and I mean, I'd preach the devil. I'd preach the devil out of them. I'd let them have it. And I would, as a young person, you know, in my room by myself, I'd be leading a service and preaching the Bible and just had a burning desire to preach the Word of God. And really, it all stemmed out of one time I was in a church service, and I listened to an evangelist preach. An evangelist was preaching the Bible, and at the end of the service, people were making decisions. And I remember thinking as a young person, if God could use my life to help someone, that would be a wonderful blessing. If God could use me in just a small way to preach the Word of God so that the Spirit of God could get a hold of that person's heart and use them in any way in life and in ministry, I'd be blessed by that. And God used that and encouraged me to go into the ministry and called me to go into the ministry. And so I think the rebuke of the Bible and the conviction of the Spirit of God is such a wonderful thing that we have as Christians. And I think the chastening of the Lord in Peter's life is just a wonderful blessing. And I want you to really think of this message tonight, not as a negative, but as a positive and as an encouragement, okay? So we're going to look at Peter's life and what the Bible says. First of all, I want us to think about tonight the failure of Peter. Now Peter, I think, is an example of all of us today. I think we see ourselves often in Peter, and maybe if you don't see yourself in Peter, you might be closer to Peter than you think. Peter is, I think, an example of Christians, and I think that all of us need that rebuke, all of us need that conviction, all of us need that chastening. But what went wrong in Peter's life? Well, I think, first of all, we think of the scripture, we think of the place of failure. Peter was in the wrong place spiritually. Now, he's at the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus, and what are the disciples talking about? As they're gathered together for the Last Supper of the Lord, what are they discussing? They're discussing who's going to be the greatest, right? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And it's almost like Peter is saying, I'm going to be the greatest because, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to give you the ultimate sacrifice. I am willing to give you my life. Peter says, I'm the ultimate disciple, Lord. I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus says in verse 31, he said, Simon Peter, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he says to Peter, Peter, I want you to know that before the cock shall crow three times, at this very time, you're going to deny me three times, thrice. What was the place of failure in Peter's life? Well, I think it's something we all struggle with. It's pride. Peter thought that he was the greatest. And God isn't, by the way, God isn't looking for someone that will die for him, but he is looking for someone who will live for him. He wants someone that will serve him. And so Peter had his priorities wrong. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 54, and Peter followed him afar off, we see Peter's life. He's following the Lord Jesus from a distance, and the Bible says that the Lord Jesus goes to the palace of the high priest, and there he's warming himself by a fire. Oftentimes, we as Christians, we're like that. We like to follow the Lord from a distance, right? We don't want to get too involved. We'd, We don't want to come to every service. We don't want to be a fanatic about it, right? You know where they get the word fan? They get that from fanatic, by the way. Fan, fanatic. And so the Bible says in Mark chapter 14 that Peter's warming himself by the fire, and you know the story. There's a damsel there, and she says, "Hey, I know you. You're a disciple." Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a disciple." He said, "Yeah, you talk like a Galilean. You are a disciple." And what does Peter do? He starts to curse and swear, right? I'm going to show you that I am not a disciple of Jesus. And the Bible says that when he said this, verse 72 of Mark 14, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. The place of his failure was pride. And we often lift ourselves up as Christians who will never fall, Christians who are super spiritual, but yet when push comes to shove and the devil comes knocking at our door, listen, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall, right? And so there has to be this spiritual awareness and dependence on God. I think it was Spurgeon that said, the Christians, they don't speak lies, they go to church and sing them. And you know, listen, I think we should sing the hymns of the faith. I think we should sing these wonderful blessings of doctrine and truth and Christian testimony, like, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I think we should sing those hymns, but I also believe we should live them. And we shouldn't, they shouldn't just be words. They should be prayers. They should be our hearts' commitment and dedication. I mean, it's easy to sing, "Oh how I love Jesus," but it's harder to serve, right? It's easy to sing, "Jesus means all the world to me," but it's harder to say no to some things that would dishonor the Lord. And I'm saying not to discourage you from singing hymns. Obviously, that's not my intention. I'm just saying that Peter was lifted up in pride. And Peter came to the place where, you know, what he said with his mouth didn't match what was in his heart. And Jesus is revealing his heart. He's saying, "Listen, Peter, there's a spiritual battle coming, and you're not prepared." The place of his failure. But think about the pain of his failure. The Bible says this in verse 74 of Matthew 26, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Matthew says that Peter went out and wept bitterly, bitterly. You know, I think we would all agree that when Peter denied the Lord, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. And he realized in that moment that Jesus is always right. No matter how hard and no matter how much we think we are a certain spiritual pedigree, Jesus is always right. And it broke his heart. And the Bible says that he wept bitterly and he realized in that moment that sin always brings pain. Sin always brings consequences. And, you know, I think Peter is weeping and Satan is laughing. I mean, you know, it's a terrible time in Peter's life. Someone said that sin is like a thief. It robs us of God's peace. And it robs us of our effectiveness in the Christian life. And the Bible says here that Peter, his heart is broken. We see not only the pain of his failure, but the price of his failure. So the Bible says in John 21 in our text in verse 2, "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto them, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, And that night they caught nothing. Now, listen, Peter denies the Lord. There's no doubt he failed the Lord. And the Lord told him that this would take place. He denies the Lord. He fails the Lord. And what happens in Peter's life? He begins to doubt everything that God confirmed. Let me remind you tonight that never doubt in the dark what God has confirmed in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God has confirmed in the light. And Peter had lost his fellowship and his joy, and he's discouraged. He feels rejected. And he comes to this place where he's like, you know what? I'm going fishing. We see the failure of Peter, the place, the pain, and the price. But notice the footsteps of Peter. Notice the direction after this failure. The footsteps of Peter are revealed by his choices. Again, he says in verse 3, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Peter is with these men for 3 years. They ministered alongside the Lord Jesus. And Peter is saying in this passage of Scripture, when he makes the statement, I go fishing, here's what he's saying. I don't know how to be a disciple. I'm a failure. And he's saying, I know how to fish because I'm a fisherman. I'm going fishing. I think one of the most foolish things that we can do in the Christian life after falling, and by the way, we all fall, we all face trials. One of the most foolish things that we can do is to back away from God. To say, you know what, I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to walk with the Lord. It's foolish for us to back away from God in those times of failure. And Peter made a bad decision. But listen to me. One bad decision doesn't mean you should continue to make bad decisions. And that's what he was doing. He made a bad decision. He had denied the Lord 3 times. And so he said, well, you know what? I'm done being a disciple. I'm a bad disciple. But I am a fisherman. I'm going back to what I know. And so we see in the Scripture here that the footsteps of Peter is revealed by his choices, but also it's revealed by his companions. The foolish decision of Peter was bringing down the other disciples. And the Bible says in verse 3, and Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Look what they say. They say unto him, we also go with thee. For 3 years, again, he served with these men. And I mean, you know the life of Peter. He was the leader, right? He was the spokesperson. Peter said what everyone else was thinking. And Peter asked the questions that people wanted to know. And here we see his influence in a negative way influencing the other disciples to stop being disciples. Be careful of your influence. You say, well, Pastor Burns, I don't have any influence. We all have influence. And our influence will be used to draw someone closer to the Lord, or our influence will impact people in a negative way. And I'm talking about friends, I'm talking about family, I'm talking about our children, I'm talking about our spouse. I go fishing. Well, we go with you. We go with you. It's revealed by his companions. It's revealed by his consequences. The Bible says, and Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing, and they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and they caught nothing. Expert fishermen, eh? You know how to fish, huh? You can't be a disciple, but you can be a fisherman, but you're not very good at it. Listen, I know what it's like to go fishing and catch nothing. It's not very fun. When I fish, I like to see fish. I don't like to see fishing rods. I don't like to see bait. I want to see a fish. And they fished. They caught nothing. When we decide to live foolishly, when we decide to live for ourselves, all that we have as Christians is emptiness. There's no substance there. There's nothing to show forth. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that they fished and there was nothing there. But thirdly, I want us to notice, and this is really my message tonight, the friend of Peter. You see, I'm glad tonight that failure isn't final. The Bible says in the first passage I said, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, and don't faint, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And so look what the Bible says about the chastening of the Lord in Peter's life. In John 21, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And when the morning was come," by the way, the chastening of the Lord began even before John 21. When Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he told the ladies when they came and they saw him, they said, "Tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive." Jesus was chastening Peter from that very moment. I mean, Jesus was rebuking him, and he was convicting him and seeking him. And so the Bible says, "And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." You know, Peter learned this lesson that God makes the difference in his life. You know, when we think about conviction in our life today and we draw, you know, similarities with Peter's life and this story in John 21, I think there are some important truths that we can be taught when it comes to the chastening of the Lord. I think, first of all, it's important to realize that Jesus found him where he was. He was a mess. I mean, I can't be a disciple. I'm going fishing. I caught nothing. And here comes Jesus and says, "Hey, do you have any meat? Did you catch anything?" And they said, "No." He said, "Well, then take your net and put it on the right side of the ship." And the Bible says they caught so much fish. Jesus made the difference. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to Peter. You say, what's the significance of this? Why did Jesus do this? Well, I want us to compare Scripture with Scripture. Would you turn to the Gospel of Luke and the 5th chapter? I want us to notice another story here that is very important to this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 5, and notice what the Bible says and verse number 4. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says this, "Now when they had left speaking, they said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that it began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it," now this is the important part here, "when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, I mean, I can only tell you from my own heart and my own experience, but I believe that backsliding begins when we forget who God is. When we forget who God is. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 5 that Peter saw it. You say, well, what did he see? He saw the amazing power of God. He saw the deity of Jesus Christ. And he falls to his knees. He bows before the Creator God. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Because at the presence of Jesus Christ, there is conviction. There is revelation of who we are. And Jesus is reminding Peter of that event when he fell to his knees and he was convicted and he was rebuked and he was chastened. And he's telling Peter, "I am still the same God. I am still the all-powerful God. Peter, take a moment and remember who I am. I changed your life. You were Simon, and now you're Peter. I changed your life. I did that. I commissioned you. I sent you. I called you to be a disciple. That was my work." He's saying, "Peter, remember who I am." What a wonderful passage of Scripture. God did that. And oftentimes when we slide away from God, if I could use that expression, we forget who he is. It was God that healed our marriage. It was God that restored our soul. It was God that saved me. It was God who called me into ministry. It was God who directed my life. Peter, remember my power, my ability. Remember who I am. And so we see in the scripture that Jesus finds him. But also I think it's important for us to realize that we see that Jesus feeds him. The Bible says in verse 11 here, it says, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them," look at this, I love this, he says, "Come and dine. Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, 'Who art thou?' knowing that it was the Lord." So conviction is, I believe, God desiring us, right? He chastens us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't let us. He treats us like, we're his child. We're a son. We're a daughter. And he desires us. And he doesn't let us go. He chastens. He rebukes. He convicts. But also, the passage of Scripture teaches us, and this is wonderful as we think about God's fellowship with us and desire for us. He dines with us. He dines with us. There's something intimate and wonderful about enjoying a meal together. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Jesus comes to his disciples and he has a wonderful meal prepared. I think we could look at this in various ways. I think we can look at it from the idea that Jesus satisfies our soul. Remember, they caught nothing without him. And now they have so much fish, they don't know what to do with it all. And as they come to shore, Jesus had fish upon the fire, and they enjoyed wonderful fellowship with the Lord. I think what I'm trying to say is that their life wasn't better without Jesus. It was so much better with him in their life. So much better. And they are fed by the Lord, and they're enjoying wonderful fellowship with the Lord. You know, we are fed, of course, spiritually by the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible teaches us what is right. The Bible teaches us what is wrong. The Bible teaches us how we can get right, and then the Bible also instructs us how we can stay right. This is what God is doing in our life. When God convicts us, God is feeding us. He's providing us what we need. He knows what is best for our life, and his fellowship with him is essential. It's essential for the success in the Christian life, because your life is not better without Jesus in your life. And even though when we backslide, we think it is. But the Lord chastens us. And he rebukes us. He convicts us because he knows the importance of dining with us and fellowshipping with us. But notice this last point as we think about conviction. Jesus also forgave him. Conviction is God dining with us and desiring us, but it's also God directing us. And so in verse 19, the Bible says this, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." You say, what's the significance of all this? Remember, when Peter denied the Lord, his attitude was this, "I will die for you. I am the ultimate disciple." But then he denies the Lord three times. He comes to reality. He says, "I'm no disciple at all." And Jesus is saying to Peter, guess what, Peter, prophetically, you will die for me. He's asking the Lord in this passage of Scripture, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me? If you love me, I want you to feed my lambs." By the way, what other people have suggested, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but other people have also said that maybe these are the other disciples. I don't know. But I know this, the key point of that passage of Scripture is, Peter, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Then he says, "Feed my lambs." But then John walks by. John, the beloved, who never really says his name in his own writings. And Peter says, "But what will this man do?" Peter, it's none of your business. I'm paraphrasing that, of course. He says, "You follow me. You follow me." God is directing our life. How easy it is in conviction to say, "I hope so-and-so hears this message. They really need that. Preach it, Pastor Burns. I hope he's listening. Someone wake him up." But this is what the Lord is saying in conviction and rebuke and chastening. He's saying to you, to me, "You follow me. You do what is right. You take that out of your life. You add that into your life. Don't worry about anyone else. Worry about yourself, Peter. Worry about your walk with God. For consider," the Bible says, "him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation," or the encouragement, "which speaketh unto you as unto children," because God treats you now as his child. What is it? "My son." Isn't that a wonderful phrase that God would say to you? "My child, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." Because if you decide you know better in your life, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to feed you. I'm going to desire you, and I'm going to direct you. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? Don't faint when the Spirit of God convicts us. I just believe this. If the Creator God takes the time to touch my life, I better respond and say yes to him. You'll be blessed Friend, listen to me. You'll be blessed if you say yes to God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word and the opportunity.